Ready?
Yep.
I'd like to bring the Jerusalem Township special meeting, July 18th, 2024, to order. I request a moment of silence, and we will recite the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call. Bo Miller. Roll call. Alec Clinton.
Present.
David Bench. Present. Oh, we're just going to old business and public zoning amendment meeting. And I think, Rob, you were going to kind of explain it, so anybody has?
So, this is the purpose of this is the last step in the public for the implementation of the text amendment and the solar ordinances. As you know, there was a public hearing May 22nd from the County Planning Commission, and they recommended passage of this. There's two sections to it. There's the zoning ordinances that we currently don't have, that's all new section. And then there's wording changes to our existing ordinances that we're not changing, but we're changing words and phrases on various sections of it. The 2604. Section 2604. The main change was to section 26 of the zoning resolution regarding variances. The prior version of the zoning resolution stated that the standard for an area variance was unnecessary hardship and included factors that are not consistent with Ohio law as stated by the Ohio Supreme Court. In Duncan versus Middlefield, the Ohio Supreme Court clarified that the standard for an area variance is practical difficulties rather than the very high standard of unnecessary hardship, which applies to use variances. The Ohio Supreme Court established the factors for area variance as follows.
Here, one second, Rob. I have some copies I want to hand out to everybody to check it out.
I only printed six, so you guys like pass around. Do you have one already? Who else needs one?
Is this something different? I don't.
Yes.
You're just passing.
Okay.
So this is.
You can grab one from them.
This is the recommendation from our attorney, Jeff Stopar, because he was the one that was involved in this. The factors to be considered and weighed in determining whether a property owner seeking an area variance has encountered practical difficulties in the use of his property include, but are not limited to, whether the property in question will yield a reasonable return, whether there can be any beneficial use of the property without the variance, whether the variance is substantial, whether the essential character of the neighborhood would be substantially 84 altered, or whether adjoining properties would suffer a substantial detriment as a result of the variance, whether the variance would adversely affect the delivery of governmental services, water, sewer, and garbage, whether the property owner purchased the property with knowledge of the zoning restriction, and whether the property owner's predicament feasibly can be obviated through some method other than a variance, whether the spirit and intent behind the zoning requirement would be observed and substantial justice done by granting the variance. That was a case from Duncan versus Bill Middlefield. So that's the case that he used when he changed that section in our code. But like I said before, it's not added. It's just changed a little bit. So the proposed amendment regarding variances are pulled directly from the Ohio Supreme Court case and actually make it easier for a landowner to obtain an area variance under the 7 factors for practical difficulties established by the Ohio Supreme Court. So if we pass this, it makes it easier to get a variance, apparently. So I think that was one of the factors that the Planning Commission considered when they changed it. And that's about all I have concerning it. Tim, do you want to say anything about it?
Yeah, I think we have covered it pretty
in detail.
Detail in the past, so I mean, unless somebody has questions, we can.
And I got to remind you, the Planning Commission, they did vote to adopt it, so.
Okay, I guess we'll open it up to the public. Each person addressing the board shall give her or his name and will be allocated at least 5 minutes. Please use the podium for your comments so that they can be properly recorded
Are we going to loop back to a discussion after taking public comment? Because I still have a few things I'd like to talk about in this. I mean, it's fine if we take public comment. That way we can just answer all the questions at once.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right, who wants to go first?
Heather Prokpo on South North Prince Road right near Eisenhower. My main concern is with the proposed amendments, section 2403G. That was previously discussed at the prior hearing on this matter, and it was asked why that phrasing was put in. It was said that the prosecutor had recommended the phrasing, but there was no confirmation of if this actually reflected the prosecutor's intent and if the prosecutor's recommendation had just been a verbal or if it had been written, and we still don't have that.
I don't know if it came in and...
Is there a reason that wasn't changed, especially considering the concerns that citizens had with the lack of a statute of limitations?
Well, I think it makes it easier to enforce the ordinance, because if a first time offender is not likely to get a $100 a day fine.
Right.
The court will probably only do that on a second or third time offender.
Right.
This, with adding this in, we don't have to start the case over.
But the concern was that there's no statute of limitations on this. Someone could have the same violation 15 years apart. Mm-hmm. Or if other parts of this change, suddenly you're being written up for the same zoning violation, but it's not actually the same violation because other parts have changed. Those were brought up by citizens at the last hearing, and this doesn't address any of them. I'm wondering why, if we restarted, why didn't we fix that?
I'm not sure that would be a
question for Stovar. Tim, you're welcome to chime in on these two since you're chairman of the board of Zoning Commission. So if you have commentary to add.
You know, all of these, whether it's this one or all of them, have been recommended by our township attorney, who is very well versed in governmental. It was also approved by the Planning Commission, and they're very well versed in all these things. So, as a township, we have to rely on those people. I'm not an attorney, we're not zoning experts, so we kind of work together as residents. It's good to have questions like that. I appreciate that, and then other people that have come and talked about that. I don't know the answer as far as the statute of limitations. I mean, we could address that.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, certainly.
So, you're an attorney.
Yes.
What's the statute limitations on it right now?
Like
murder is, there is no statute.
Correct.
But robbery, it's what, 5 years?
Yes.
So do you know what it is for like?
Civil infractions is typically 2 years, mm-hmm. but it was previously brought up that this just states about repeat offenders, so could I be brought up on the same thing 15 years later? That's what was asked by citizens the last time. So I feel like
if the court has 2 years,
right.
But our ordinance doesn't say it, we're going to default to the court because we're not trying them, the court is. So the court's going to use their standard, which is 2 years.
And I get that, but that's because I've done legal research and I know about this stuff.
Yeah.
A normal citizen isn't going to understand that. And that's why the normal citizens, everyone asked last time for some sort of time frame to be put on this. 5 years, 2 years, 8 years, whatever it might be. And I just want to know why it wasn't changed. If we had to go back and do all this again, why not fix and listen to the complaints the residents had the first time around?
Because I think probably, I mean, that's a question for Jeff probably, but like we wouldn't, like we'd be infringing on the court, I think, if we were putting a statute. Like say we put a statute of 1 year, then we're superseding what the court's doing. So I don't think we can do that legally. I mean,
generally it falls to the Ohio Revised Code if it's not in our specific zoning ordinance. So that would probably be, and I don't know the answer to that. I didn't realize that that would have come up in the past.
Do you know who specifically requested this addition? Which attorney or who it was?
Well, like we have explained before, Alex, we had sent this, our zoning code, to Jeff Stopar to review it to be responsible to the residents because it hadn't been done for a long time.
Right.
He's making recommendations based on what other Ohio townships do, what his experience has been. And so we're relying on what he's telling us.
Well,
so limitations question could be posed to him and we can figure that out, but I don't know.
So Stopar made this recommendation?
Well, his email doesn't even refer to this.
So Jeffrey Stopar made this recommendation 2403G.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, hang on now, because last time it was stated at the last hearing that recommendation was from the prosecutor for Oregon Municipal, not by Jeff Stopar.
You are correct on that.
Stopar's email does not at all mention 2403G anywhere in it. He talks about the variances, and I get the solar, but it doesn't at all mention 2403G in his email or anything else. And we were told last time by Linda Rossler that it was the prosecutor who had recommended it, but she didn't know if it was verbal or email, and so she didn't even know if the phrasing that was being requested as an amendment, which is an amendment and an addition, not necessarily a rephrasing, which is what was stated earlier. It's not a rephrasing, it's an addition.
Could you answer that, Linda?
Verbally and writing, yes, it came from the Oregon prosecutor, Melissa Prefer.
Is there a reason we don't have the verification of the writing, but we have verification for the variances?
So was it in writing in an email?
Yes.
So it should be available via public records request, correct? Okay.
Except I requested everything and didn't get that.
I definitely like to see it before we make a decision on it. So
yeah, I requested
we'll look for that email.
I went to zoning 4 months ago and I still haven't gotten a thing. So still waiting on that one. But those are my questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Karen Wilhelm. Couple questions. Did the county approach the township for these things, or Oregon approach us, or did the township reach out to make these changes? If you can maybe find that out for me, you don't have to answer it now.
So just so I understand, you want to know specifically who recommended each of these changes?
Sure. Like, say we're just out here, like, hey, this would be a good idea. Did we do that, or did they approach us to make these changes?
I can probably answer that. Now it started, I'm going to preface it, it started before I started here. And we didn't have a zoning ordinance in place, and we still don't until we adopt this. They decided, because of the docket of the Planning Commission, to use the opportunity to reword the text amendments while we put the solar ordinance in, so we could do it all in one package.
So the township did it?
The township did it, yes. Yeah, because I don't know if you've been watching the news, but like Allen Township, they don't have wind turbine ordinances. They're being approached and bombarded with all these wind farms wanting to come in there, and they don't have any ordinance to regulate it. So they're kind of panicking. And putting ordinances in right now, and we were trying to do the same thing with solar. We don't have a solar, I mean.
I understand all that. I've been at meetings,
so
I understand.
So, I mean. it's a good thing to have the solar ordinances.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, but they decided to do it all at once because of, you know, the agendas of the planning commission and so on, so.
Okay, thank you. As you know, I was taken to court. As you know, my property is commercial with residential allowed and considered a marine facility by the county. And the township requires me to have any boats on my property to be safety inspected by the ODNR for seaworthiness. As you know by now, the state of Ohio.
Point of order, that isn't what this meeting is.
Yes, it is. It gets to it. Yes, it does. As you know, the state of Ohio doesn't provide the service due to liability they would have. By this requirement, any boats that I bring onto my property is required to have this done. I can be taken back to court if I bring one boat onto my property with just one letter. I was also taken to court for an open building that was.
Point of order, this is not the special meeting that gets to it.
Jim, this is not your meeting. This is our meeting.
Make it short, I'm not sitting here all night.
Really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I'll be here.
Okay. I've heard this before.
Well, and you did nothing about it.
That's right.
Let's see. So I'm by a building. I don't have access to repair. That is still open. The township signed off on it, but it is still open. Technically, I could be taken to court again for that building being open with just one letter. Court should not be easy for anyone to go to at all. It should be difficult on both sides, and everyone should have discussions on it, not just because someone wanted to do it. There's no votes on many of these cases that have gone through the past zoning. Again, I could be taken to court by doing two things or not doing two things, again, with just one letter, and that's not right.
Oh. So,
thank you.
So you're referencing 20... Karen, do you have a second? So you're referencing 2403G, if I understand it correctly, right? Where it says, if is further understood that one notice specifying the violations shall be sufficient notification for repeat offenders?
Correct.
So that's what you're getting at.
Correct.
Okay, that makes
correct.
Sense. So your concern is that this would eliminate the township steps for a resident to be taken back to court,
absolutely.
Correct?
Absolutely.
That's a valid concern. And that
I actually only had one letter before it was turned to the prosecutor.
And that's a valid concern because when you look at, let me pull it up on the our zoning resolution here. So under section, let's see here, section 26, Board of Zoning Appeals, if you go to, 2602B, it lists the duty of the Board of Zoning Appeals. And it states, to hear and decide appeals where it is alleged there's an error in any order, requirement, decision, or determination made by the zoning inspector in the enforcement of this resolution. So that gives the option for an appeal to the Board of Zoning Appeals in the event that someone doesn't agree with being taken to court. So this 2403G would undermine the zoning resolution exactly as it's stated. Right?
I don't know that.
So let me try and explain it. So let's say you get a zoning violation and you disagree with it and you talk to the zoning inspector and the zoning inspector does not agree with you. So it's still a violation. Before you go to court, you have the option to have the Board of Zoning Appeals hear that determination before it goes to court. So if there's a new case years down the road, there's no option for that.
How do you know that?
Why I'm looking right at you.
Why would it? That doesn't negate the chance to talk to the zoning appeals.
Yes, it does. Because
how do you figure?
It is further understood that one notice specifying the violation shall be sufficient notification for repeat offenders. This is referencing if they were already.
So if it's going back into repeating it, if the person disagrees, then I guess they can go to zoning appeals.
No, because this would allow for the option to go directly back to court without going through that.
Correct.
You don't see it that way?
I don't. I think you're.
I don't think you can go into a zoning appeals field for enforcement.
Looking right at it. You want to grab that book? Section 2602, subsection B. I didn't grab the book. I have the zoning resolution.
Right,
you got a copy of the resolution?
Well, 2602 is in here.
No. It's in the whole resolution, the current zoning resolution. Let me just go grab that book for you, Rob.
Okay. Yeah, it starts at 2604 here.
So it's page 26-1, down at the bottom. No, it says, made by the zoning inspector in enforcement of this resolution, so it's not just variances.
The enforcement of this resolution, but not enforcement practices.
Well, the resolution specifies the enforcement practices.
But the duties of the Board of Zoning Appeals are spelled out in Ohio Revised Code 519. We can't change that.
Well, it states right here, you can take a... well, I guess this is a question why we needed to have an attorney here, and we don't have an attorney here.
To have him here, and he couldn't be here, he's got another thing.
Okay, so we will have to get that clarified.
Yeah. Ohio Revised Code 519 specifies the duties of the BZA as well as the Zoning Commission.
And it doesn't specify that the BZA can... So it doesn't specify that the BZA can... you can appeal to the BZA in a determination made by the zoning inspector? So the Ohio Revised Code says you can't do that?
In variance matters. Like building permits.
But this says enforcement.
Enforcement of this resolution.
Right. When you're taken to court, you are taken to court because of this resolution.
Deals with building permits and variances. Not enforcement.
Yeah, it does. Look under the section for zoning inspector. That is, let's see here. Section 24, enforcement. Which is the job of the zoning inspector to enforce the resolution.
This resolution?
Yeah, this is...
That's a different resolution.
No, this is Jerusalem Township Zoning Resolution.
Right, but they're talking about different areas of the resolution, I think.
No, the zoning inspector enforces the entire resolution.
Right.
Right, exactly.
But we don't take enforcement cases to BZA. We only take variance requests.
It says right in there, you can appeal to the BZA in regards to enforcement cases before it goes to court. I mean, that's...
Well...
Page 26-1, it's right in there.
But I think it's... You're reading it wrong. It's referring to a different resolution.
What other resolution would there be? I mean, it's...
2602.
Let's stop arguing about it. Write it down.
We're not arguing. We're discussing.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's what's come down to. Let's have a lawyer figure it out.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's fine.
We can go back and forth and back and forth.
519.14, Township Board of Zoning Appeals may hear and decide appeals where it is alleged there is an error in any order, requirement, decision, or determination made by an administrative official.
Yeah, so that could be zoning enforcement.
So Karen is correct. She could be brought to court over this issue multiple times with just one
But you said the court has a 2-year statute of limitations.
For civil matters, but this is zoning.
We can take her, but the court's going to say this court.
Well, these are criminal matters, not civil.
It's criminal.
Yeah.
For civil matters, it's a 2-year, which is what I stated. Mm-hmm. I don't know off the top of my head. I'd have to research what kind of statute of limitations there would be on zoning, but I don't know if there is one that's specified in ORC.
Yeah.
Which is why the residents brought up the concern of the lack of statute of limitations specified.
That's a question for Stovar.
There we go. Yep.
Anything else?
How about, because we're not voting until your regular meeting, how about see if we can get them here for the regular meeting?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Let's do that.
Burrell wasn't available tonight to be here, neither was Stovar.
Neither one.
And I don't know if we've asked them for the regular meeting, we just asked them for tonight.
I don't believe we have for the regular meeting.
Yeah. So.
You gonna call him then?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you want to.
I can do it too, whatever.
I'll call him tomorrow.
Okay. I got a funeral tomorrow, so I'll be tied up most of the day.
I do too.
Do you?
Yeah. Every person, I think.
Chuck, you got anything?
No, I'm good.
Just speak one more time.
Sure.
Just based on the conversations and the concerns of citizens, both at the last hearing and this hearing, as a resident of this township, my recommendation would be just completely nix 2403G. That's the only thing that we've heard complaints about tonight. That was the majority of the concerns that you attended to the last hearing. You get rid of that, It seems like the residents don't disagree with the solar. They don't disagree with changes to variances. What they disagree with is 2403G. If you get rid of that, I think you'll have a lot happier residents.
That's fair. I've got more concerns, but that's fair. Definitely fair.
You got anything else, Alex?
Oh, I got tons. I just wanted to hear the public first. Anybody else before I pick it up? Okay. So I'm on page 3-3 where it says location of uses on a single lot. It nixes a section, and if I understand this correctly, it changes that section to say
what number are you on there?
200.03 on page 3-3. I'll wait till you guys get there. No, these are the proposed changes.
3.3.
The solar or the whole proposed changes 3-3 at the bottom.
Okay, I got you.
And then I'm looking at 200.03. Did everybody got it?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm looking at it here, and it nixes a sentence, and then after that it says every principal building, whether presently existing or hereafter constructed, relocated, or structurally altered, shall be located on a single lot. So is this a change? I guess, Tim, I'll ask you, or Jim, either one of you, since you guys are on the board. Can you explain that a little bit to me, what sort of the goal behind that is? So the goal, it basically...
The goal is to combine all the lots for buildings instead of having four separate lots and half your house on two lots and another building over here. You put them all them small lots on one parcel.
So that would be...
It doesn't say that, and there's no specification as to lot size there either.
So that's my question is, so when you're making that recommendation, are you referencing, let's say, one house is existing on two separate lots, that they need to combine those lots? Or are you saying if one person owns several lots, but their house is on two lots, they need to combine the several that they own?
That don't work either, because what if you
that's
own the lots here across the street?
So that's
the
a
house is on one side.
The only thing that's changing is what's striked out.
So it's removing that.
It's removing that.
Under location of use, it says, unless otherwise specifically allowed in section 1505,
there is no
supplemental regulations. That's being struck out.
Okay.
That's why there's a line through that.
So is there a specific?
We don't have a section. That's what we're talking
about.
So we don't have a 1505. Okay.
So that's why they're cleaning the language up.
Let me just pull this up real quick so I can take a look.
15 is
repair. Oh, okay. We don't have a 1505. That makes sense. One little tidbit I did find out about that. When you combine, I talked to the auditor's office, when you combine lots, there's the potential for a tax... a reevaluation increase because those lots are now combined, so then the value overall of those your property will be assigned a new value because now it's on a single lot and they have to redetermine the value. So I talked to the auditor's office about that.
Yeah, okay. That's pretty common knowledge.
Anything else on that? All right, moving on. So I'm looking at 3-4. So what I'm curious about is the end of the very last sentence where it says hardship shall be based on physical limitations of the land or structures and does not encompass financial considerations. So just if I understand that correctly, is that due to the case law that Mr. Stopar referenced here in this email?
Again, Alex, this is stuff that we covered before when you weren't here. You were on Facebook, though. That is not a change. That's already in the resolution. The only change in what we're here to discuss is what's highlighted in yellow. We're just changing.
Ah, okay, that makes sense. So we're just looking at the yellow ones. Gotcha.
So that was simply being consistent with using the word variance instead of saying exceptions and variances in parentheses.
It's already in there, and we're not changing code.
Gotcha. Okay. So I do have another question moving forward to 3-5. Give you guys a second to get the next page. I'm looking at 301.03. So if I understand this correct, this text change shifts the interpretation of the zoning map from the zoning, the Board of Appeals to the Board of Zoning?
No.
It's just rephrasing.
It's rephrasing. Yeah.
So it's still the Board of Zoning Appeals.
Right.
Again, it was just a simple little cleanup that he did to be consistent with using Board of Zoning Appeals instead of
Zoning Board of Appeals.
Board of Appeals.
Okay.
I think you had said that in the past, that it's changing it from the Board of Zoning Appeals to the Zoning Commission. Not doing that.
Okay. So that's fair. That's fair.
Next.
So my next point of question is on page 3-7. So I'm looking at B and subsection 4. So it mentions at the end of it that where it mentions M-1 limited industrial district, our zoning code doesn't have it worded that way. It has it worded, let me scroll back to it here. So in our zoning code, it's listed as M-1 industrial district. It doesn't use the term limited. So I wasn't sure if they're
industrial district.
So I just wasn't sure why. I mean, we have the code for M1 industrial district, but we don't have the word limited in the title of that. Can we nix that? Because I don't really see a point to say limited. There's nothing.
I think that's a big deal. We don't have any M1 status in the township, I guess.
Well, sure, but we have. Potentially somebody could rezone a parcel to M1 at some point. I just wanted everything to be congruent and clear. Because, what our zoning code currently states is just industrial district. It doesn't say limited industrial district. Again, I hate to be a stickler about words, but I just want to go through everything and be informed.
This whole thing's about words, so that,
yep.
I need to just read this again to understand what it's.
I do have another quick question. Are you reading it right now, or?
The fact that we don't have M1, there's no reason why we couldn't take the limited off of there. I
think
that's more just.
It's my only concern about that.
Yeah, it's just the template that they have.
So up above that on B number 2. I just had a question, and it stated that a zoning certificate would be required for rooftop solar energy systems. Is there a specific reason that type of solar needs a zoning certificate?
Well, make sure it's done in accordance with its uniform.
Okay, so
if the certificate's not issued, and we don't have no way to find out if it's uniform.
Other than inspecting it. Okay, so the requirement for a certificate is to ensure that
uniformity.
Okay,
yep.
That answers that.
Sorry, which one were you talking about?
Uniformity. B, under B, number 2,
what
towards the end.
What if nobody else has?
Well, it has to meet our code. If you put it in and he puts it in, you got to put it into what our code says.
So if he puts his in before me, then I've got to do everything he did.
No.
To match
Mm-mm.
it.
No, oh, no.
You got to match the code.
Uniformity.
Everybody's got to do the code.
We don't have no way to enforce uniformity.
Now, I know solar's big and upcoming. I mean, trust me.
Sure.
For solar.
Yeah.
Who would issue that? Would it be the building inspector of Lucas County?
I don't...
Who, I mean, I guess who's got the criteria for all the...
Did you want to state your name for the record real quick? Sorry. Just
this is Chuck George. The question is with that, with the solar, who would have all the information and the criteria? Because obviously it's already been regulated someplace.
It's all in here.
Right.
That's so, so what we're referencing here, the zoning... The zoning certificate we're referencing here would be issued by the township. So we'd just be looking at, if I understand it correctly, that those solar systems are in compliance with our code. Now, in terms of like the building stuff, that'd all be at the county level, right?
Yeah.
They deal with solar.
Like with electrical and all that, we don't do that.
Right.
We wouldn't do a remodel on a house.
Right.
We can tell you where.
Right, and whoever would put solar panels up, as I say, example. You're going to have to go with the county because you're going to have to go with all the building, the inspector, the electrical inspection, and, you know, make sure everything's up to code. That's basically what it is. So you're going to be following their criteria.
Yeah. Yes. Other than what's in
right
for ours, like ours specifies you can't put it way up above the peak of the roof and stuff like that.
You still have the situation of whether you're on the north side of the road or the south side of the road, and whether you're going to require it put on the front or to the rear of the homes.
Yeah, and we have it in here.
It's in there.
Yeah, but then, I mean, if you live on the wrong side of the street, then you're kind of out of it.
What else you got?
Oh, I've got lots more. So, I'm looking at page 3-8 now. So on here it states that roof-mounted solar panels that are mounted at an angle to the roof structure shall only be permitted on roof surfaces that face the side or rear lot. Is there a specific reason for that? Are people just concerned about the aesthetic of solar panels, or like what's the specific reason?
I think maybe glare.
Yeah. But they need to be installed elsewhere in the code. It also states they need to be installed in a manner that doesn't produce glare. Mm-hmm. So this would be separate. That's why I'm just trying to figure out exactly what the intent behind this is.
Well, if you put them on the front, you're going to have glare. If you put it on the back, where your house is located, probably could have it. But, maybe aesthetics too.
Well, I mean, you guys, the zoning board is proposing these changes, so I'm assuming there's a reason behind it.
This is a template that the Ohio Township has. So this came from the Ohio Township Association. So this is put in all kinds of municipalities. And
well, sure, but that's them and we're us, which is why I'm asking.
Right, but why should we invent the wheel?
Keep it standardized.
Yeah, it's standardized.
Hey, we're not the same as any other communities, so
if they have a reason for it and it's all across Ohio, why wouldn't it be good enough for us?
I question everything because at the end of the day, I'm the one that's voting on this, so I need to be very informed on these decisions.
But I think I would want it on the front of the house for glare reasons. Aesthetics too. I mean,
it's been a while since we had reviewed this, but I think that was the conversation was just. Was aesthetics. Do you recall that?
The glare was the issue.
Yeah.
Aesthetics and
but
glare.
I personally think, I mean, my personal opinion, by doing that operationally, like if I can put solar panels on both sides of the house, I can probably produce more energy. But if you only put it on one side, you're producing less energy because you got less surface area. But you also, you don't have to put it on a roof. You can put it on the ground somewhere too, in the back, you know?
Sure. So we've kind of come to the conclusion. It's primarily aesthetics
and glare.
Glare. Okay. But glare is referenced separately. So then that would be okay. Glare and aesthetics.
Was any of this mandated by anybody, any department, or is this just the township going after this?
Just the township. Nobody's forcing us to do this.
Then why are we going so heartedly for it?
Bill, we've talked about this numerous times. We just talked about it tonight.
Here's one concern tonight, right now. We're minus one trustee. So how are we going to fill Bo in on what he's missed? You don't have your whole board here. We don't have an attorney here. Why are we having this half-ass meeting? Pardon the language. We don't have a zoning inspector.
Quiet, Bill.
Dave.
I said quiet. Hey, Rob's going to speak.
Just let me answer, Bill. I got a question.
Point at me. I don't care. I bought had it with you.
You ought to grow some manners.
Oh, you, me.
Yeah,
oh,
you.
Yeah, go on, Bill. Quiet.
I'm going to answer it, Bill. Bo's going to, he's going to watch this when he can on Facebook Live. So he's been informed of this. They've already voted on it, and they've gone over everything during their meeting, and you were here, I think. So they're informed. This step right here is mandated by the state. So we have to go through this public hearing tonight. So we've been through this like three times. The first question was, why are we doing this? And I stated earlier on that, like, Allen Township got caught with their pants down with the wind turbine. They don't have ordinance for it. We want to keep ahead of this. We're trying to be proactive, so that I'm going to bring Dave up here. He's got a lot of land. Let's just say he decides to get out of farming and sell to a big solar company, and all of a sudden we've got thousands of solar panels all over our township. I don't think as a township we want that. Do you? They're doing it down in Mount Vernon, Ohio. Well, if you go down there, they're littering that whole, the farmers are getting out of there. Right,
for what you're saying, yeah. if he sells out and they go big time, mm-hmm. that's got to fall under the M1 stuff, which
but
you
it
don't
doesn't.
Have, and
that's,
it wouldn't be allowed.
That's
to
the
begin
problem,
with.
Because we don't have any regulations.
We got to have regulations.
So that's why we're doing it. And, I mean, solar is a big thing. Look at for solar. I mean, a lot of people, they want to put solar panels on their house so they can lower their electric bill. You know, we want our residents to have that opportunity, so that's why we're putting it in. The solar, I think, is nothing but a benefit for the residents. So, but we have to have some regulations so these big conglomerates don't come in here and take over the township.
Rob, can I add to that?
Yes.
Bill, just to let you know, I'm in construction, all right? I'm an iron worker. Right now, there is a huge, and I mean huge, solar farm going up near south of Huron, near Attica and Willard, because I've got some friends of mine, their laborers are down there now. And if we don't do that, I mean, and we're talking thousands of acres they're putting in. So, which I can understand, we need regulations.
We need some kind of, and we're limiting it to what we can put in the township.
Now, I thought I was under the understanding that if a solar facility was greater than 50 megawatts, that townships have no authority to regulate those anyways, because then that falls outside of zoning and under Ohio revised code.
You're exactly correct.
Yeah.
There we go.
It was under the PUCO.
Yeah.
The township wouldn't have any authority over there.
Wouldn't have any say.
But to go back to answering Bill's question, and it's exactly what Rob said, as a board over the years, we were being proactive instead of waiting till something happens. It would be the same group of people and say, you sat on your rear ends and you didn't do anything. This is a proactive approach to have something in place to protect us.
But that doesn't
instead of waiting to try to do it afterwards.
But that doesn't protect us from, let's say, Dave wants to sell his farm and it's sold to somebody who wants to put greater than 50 megawatts. Then there's nothing we can do.
But this protects us up to that.
So this
up to
50 megawatts.
Yes.
Okay.
This protects us up.
We can't fight the federal government no matter how much we try anyhow. So
right. I just want clarity because people are going to ask.
Restricting the residents.
Keep going, Alex.
Oh, I got plenty. Let's see. We covered that. So on page 3-9. So up at the top it says. An integrated or rooftop solar energy system shall cover no more than 50% of a structure's walls and or roof as applicable. Just kind of curious if there's a justification for that, or like what the justification behind that is.
You know, Russell only takes so much, Alex. They're not built to have that solar panel on them, most of them. So I wouldn't put any more than 50% on a house.
Sure, but that's up to the people at the county, the building department.
Yeah, the question you're answering, Alex, is this whole process on solar came from the OTA, and they have a group of lawyers that put this together and form these rules that other townships, I mean, we don't have the money to go hire a big firm.
Well, sure, I know that.
So we use the OTA's recommendations. All I can tell you is that comes under their recommendations. You want to change it to 40 or 80? We follow the guidelines, and that's exactly what their guidelines are.
I know.
And I mean, let's just say we didn't have this in here, okay? Let's say we strike it out, you guys vote, we don't want it. You could have a house that has both roofs full of solar panels and every square inch of the siding solar panels. Do we want that monstrosity in our township? And let's just say it catches on and we get a whole bunch of them. Do we want that?
I suppose that's possible, but that would be extremely expensive.
It's more of an optics thing, you know.
So it's back to an aesthetic thing? Is that where we're at?
Yep.
Okay. And so down below that, number 2, subsection B, it states that, this is talking about the ground systems, states that ground-mounted solar energy systems shall not exceed 300 square feet in size in any residential district. Such systems shall not exceed 600 square feet in commercial and industrial districts. So I do have a couple questions about that. So when you state residential districts, you're not specifically talking about homes. You're talking about homes located in a residential district versus an A/R, correct?
But it's either, you're either designated residential, commercial, or agricultural.
No, that's land use, not the zoning district. So like here we, like for example, like homes on Brown Road are located in an A/R district. Like homes in Reno Beach would be in a like residential district if you're, yeah. So that's what I'm getting at. So, is the goal to have each home, each residence, only able to have 300 square feet of solar, or is like I'm just trying to see the justification behind this and understand exactly what it's targeting? Because the way I read this, it doesn't make any suggestions to A/R, and it doesn't limit any square footage there.
The way I read this, it sounds almost like if your neighbor and three other neighbors all have ground-mounted solar systems and you're in their residential district, if they've already taken up the 300 square feet, you can't do ground, or are you saying per parcel?
That's not the intent of the language.
I think it's per residence or parcel, yes. I think is the way.
Because that's not what it says.
It should specify.
It says in any residential district. So if you have a whole area that's a residential district.
You have the same limitations for pole barns.
I just could see how
so
it
you
could
can't
be interpreted.
Take up so much of your lot. Like, I'm going to use you're in Reno Beach, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you have your whole lot covered with solar, and he's out in Brown Road, and he's got a 10-acre lot, you know, he can have a bigger solar panel than you because he's got more area.
Sure, okay, so the intent behind this is to not...
There's a term, I can't remember what it is, but there's a terminology about square footage and lot usage, like how big your house is compared to your lot. There's a formula.
Yeah, proportion.
Sure.
Proportion, yeah. I can't remember what that term is, but...
So
we're just making sure your solar doesn't...
Overrun
your whole lot.
So yeah. Then there's no limitation in size if you live in the A/R district, correct? Because
right.
That's not residential, that's the A/R.
Because the houses are farther apart, you know.
That's fair, okay.
Neighbors close to you, I assume.
Sure, yeah, that's fair. So that's, so the houses in a residential district would only have 300 square feet of ground-mounted solar capacity. Sorry, trying to think of how to explain it. So that's irrelevant how much land they have, correct? So just
Yes.
Across the board, okay, so.
Doesn't say anything about land,
okay.
Industrial districts.
So then down below, it has some mention of visual buffer. That's, again, back to the aesthetics, if I understand it correctly. It's the point of, I should say, subsection D, where it says visual buffer, and it mentions that a buffer of natural vegetation, plantings, and or fencing that provides reasonable visual screening. That would be because of, again, back to aesthetics, right?
Yes, just like pools have to have a fence around them, too.
And I did find it kind of curious that this the subsection D mentions noise from a small solar facility. Last time I checked, solar panels don't make noise. So is there some intent behind that? Is there anything?
I'm
just curious.
The panels can buzz.
Yeah,
like, sure.
They buzz.
Yeah, they buzz.
Yeah.
Because the electricity from the solar panels is going right to a generator.
Yeah.
So you're
Solar charger inverter, that type of a deal?
You got a home, yeah. Electrical
you
home.
You got electrical home.
Okay, so the goal is to regulate that so that way it's not too loud, like if it was next to another home or something of that nature.
Like, say you're next to Dave and then your panels make an unusual humming noise or something because you got something fouled up.
You get that same buzz and
got a gun.
Yeah, we can come out to you and say, hey, you know, you got a problem here.
Sure.
Fix it.
All right, so moving along, my next question is on page 3-10. So I'm looking at, 1631, subsection E. In this subsection, it mentions that, if I understand it correctly, it says this, a ground-mounted solar energy system is considered abandoned when it ceases transmission of electricity for 30 consecutive days. So my question behind that is, that seems kind of low to me. So it mentions ceases transmission after 30 consecutive days, and then after it, if I understand it correctly, after it ceases transmission, it needs to be removed within 90 days? So my question, going back to that, is let's say you have an issue acquiring parts or some sort of repair or maintenance to the system. If it's down for 30 days while you're waiting for parts from Taiwan or something like that, if you exceed that 30 days, then you're required to remove the panels. That time span seems a little short to me. Is there any backstory behind that, why that was picked?
Let me give you a practical solution.
Sure.
How the heck do I know when I'm in if your solar panel's working or not?
I know, but that doesn't mean we should put it in there. If we have no way of interpreting it, how can we enforce it? And why should we?
I think
but
it's
if
in there
don't, if we don't have any kind of a date attached to it, I think I look at that, Alex, as just like a lot of our other zoning things. If there's a conversation with the zoning inspector or the resident and that there's intent to fix it and there's progress, which is what we've done with other things, then I'm sure there's a reasonable discussion, but without putting any kind of time frame in there, then you really don't have anything to
fall
back on.
Sure, but I just don't like words.
What the intent is that you don't have all these abandoned solar panels.
Certainly, but I'm just.
But how do we know? I don't know if it's working or not.
Well, my main concern is why can't we increase that? Just if they have issues with repairing those systems.
If we said 120 days or 200 days.
Yeah, something like that seems more reasonable to me.
But it's a moot point.
What's the difference?
I don't know if it's working or not.
Well, that doesn't mean somebody can't attempt to enforce it because, you know, maybe 50 years from now, none of us will be around and they'll try and look into the wisdom of this code and enforce it as they see fit. So that's kind of why I don't like to leave things vague and open to interpretation, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but can a resident file a complaint and then you can look into it? So if you have a resident that's filing a complaint against their neighbor, 30 days is a rather short time, because the second someone makes a complaint, they have to, you know, the zoning inspector has an obligation to
then
at least check.
Then interpret this.
But I think the word permanently ceasing operation, the owner of the property shall within 30 days permanently ceasing operation. So that's not just saying it's down for repair. They're saying it hasn't been used in years. I'm going to use example of some of these boats we have on the township.
Mm-hmm.
They've been there for years. They've permanently ceased the operations. So I think a ground-mounted solar system that's permanently abandoned, it's apparently inoperable, just like a boat or a car. There's no wires hooked up. You got, you know, weeds growing out the middle of them. I think that's what the intent of the rule is.
Well, but this code in here states a solar energy system is considered abandoned when it ceases transmission of electricity for 30 consecutive days. And then if you go back up to, let me see where it is. An unused ground-mounted solar energy system may stand no longer than 90 days following abandonment. So it's classified as abandoned after it stops transmitting for 30 days.
No, the owner of the property shall, within 30 days of permanently ceasing operation. So it could have permanently ceased operation a year ago, and the owner has to get rid of it.
All right. Well, I'll look into that and we'll follow up on that before we vote on it. I repair things and I know how difficult it is to get parts and keep things running. So there's definitely circumstances when you can't get parts.
But I don't think this applies. I think it means it hasn't worked in years and it's sitting there.
You're getting too petty, Alex.
Well, when I sign my name on a vote, these things matter.
I know how hard it is to get parts.
But, you know, this is a big thing right now. Who knows in 20 years if it's going to be a big thing, and, like, let's just say it takes off and we have all these all over the place, and what do we do with them? We have to have a means to
get rid of them. So. No, I don't disagree with that at all. I mean, if they're abandoned, you got to get rid of them.
Yeah.
Well, like, going to the comment about you being petty, I mean, isn't half the reason that we're here having to do a hearing again because of failure to follow procedure? So it's not really petty to nitpick and make sure that there's clear understanding of what's being proposed as changes to a resolution.
Thank you.
Nice. Fair. Okay, don't really have a question on that. We answered noise. Maybe we covered that again. So, I'm looking at page 3-12. So I'm looking at the first paragraph there where it states a small solar facility to be located in a zoning district, which is identified as a conditional use. Do you guys happen to know which districts that solar would be a conditional use? Is that all districts? Is there a specific district?
I have no idea. That window might be all. You
up? It would be all, but depends on the size they're putting.
So nobody has like a...
Which is identified as conditional.
Conditional use would be an application where it wouldn't be allowed, to which they would apply to the BZA to have a conditional use permit issued.
Okay, so only if it wasn't already explicitly allowed by the code.
Right, if it wouldn't be because of the light size
okay.
and the house situation.
Okay.
It's a conditional use. The conditions would be put on it by the BZA.
That's fair. Let's see here. Oh, I do have another one here. So on page 3-13, going down to the very first, the number 3, where it says, it states no small solar facility. I'm looking at that little paragraph right there. Oh, sorry, my apologies. VI and then number 2 below VI, where it states, is in harmony with existing vegetation in the area. What exactly do you mean by in harmony? Like in terms of the visual buffer? Like that's kind of, that doesn't give me like a very clear.
vegetation. You can't cover it with weeds and say it's a buffer, maybe.
Read number three.
Provides reasonable visual screening to minimize view and of noise from the small solar facilities to adjacent lots and from any public right of way.
So you'd say harmony would be to just ensure that it's not in public right of way and not obscuring anything, correct? Is that kind of what I'm understanding?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair.
Well, Kevin, if they put it too close to the lot line, Kevin's plowing and he smashes their solar panel with snow. I mean, that's not a good thing. So it's got to be...
Well, so it's got to be, what, 100 feet from public right of way?
Public right of way, yeah.
But now you understand what they're talking about, a small solar facility.
Sure.
They're talking about a facility of up to 50,000 megawatts.
Sure.
So that's going to be a lot of panels, a field for. That's not going to be a residence with two or three panels. It's going to be a small solar facility.
Okay.
Is a what I would call personally a solar farm.
Okay. Okay.
But yeah, there's no minimum for a small solar facility. It just says up to.
Up to.
So
there
it
is
could
no minimum.
Really
correct.
Be
yes.
Just one solar panel.
No, if you look back earlier, it describes what a small solar field is.
It says
small
up to, it doesn't say a minimum.
Yeah.
So it could just be one solar panel, because there's no minimum.
Well, it describes it as the interconnection to the electrical grid as it's designed for. A small solar facility isn't designed to establish electricity for one house. They're producing it to sell back to the electrical companies, and it's their over usage is pumped right back into the lines. Or they're correct.
You don't get paid for that anymore.
So okay, so the small solar facility is, if I understand it correctly, separate of what your average residence would have for solar.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay.
But it doesn't state that.
I think if you go.
There's a single interconnection to the electrical.
Yeah, if you look above that one with the single interconnection, are you on page 3-6?
I don't know. I'm on 1631 capital A definition.
Yeah.
Small solar facility.
Yeah, so above that, it sort of outlines criteria for a specific house as. Okay, so that's separate than a ground-mounted solar energy system or a rooftop system that a house would have, correct? So those are what a house would have, and then the small solar facility would be more of a installation.
Commercial application.
Okay.
How many more you got?
Oh, I've got several.
Let's go.
All right, so on page 3-14, I'm looking at letter C. So it says, evidence of compliance with applicable setback and all other applicable zoning restrictions. So that would be like a site plan?
Site plan.
Site plan,
just
okay.
Just like any other permit.
Okay. And then down at the bottom, it says any other information or materials reasonably requested by the zoning inspectors. Is there like something specific that would reference?
Maybe like materials, like, you know, right now, primarily we have the glass panels.
Mm-hmm.
In the future, you might have something else, and we want that coming into our township. So we have a right to regulate what kind you use. It's kind of being proactive because...
Sure, we don't
know. Now they're pretty much all the same. We don't know in the future what they're going to be like. They could be made out of uranium for all we know.
Okay, so that's fair. That's fair. All right. We already talked about 2403G. So on page 316, I've got a question, 3-16. So under 2503 subsection B, it adds the word and. What exactly is the point of that? Because like they're already like labeled out like A, B, C, D. So I wasn't sure if there's any.
Honestly, don't know. The attorney said that was just grammatical.
Huh, interesting.
There's not.
Okay.
I think what it means is B and C and D. So consider review and recommended all proposed amendments to the Board of Trustees and consider review and approve or to deny all site plans.
Makes sense.
So it kind of combines both sections together.
So typically in legalese, when you have an and, it's stating that those requirements have to be done sequentially versus or means you can choose. So the and probably just means that you have to sequentially do those things.
So what you're saying legally is B, you'd consider B and C and D for
right, you
for
have
legal.
To do those steps, correct.
Yeah.
They have to be steps versus just a choice. You know, like in a test when you have to circle an answer versus selecting multiple.
Got another one?
Yeah. So on page 317, so if I understand it correctly, these recommendations that are highlighted, these came from Attorney Stopar? Mm-hmm. And this letter that was provided to us outlines why these changes were recommended. It looks like they came from case law, if I understand that correctly. So they were
Ohio Supreme Court.
So they were recommended from case law because that's probably the test they would use in court. So it's more representation of what would happen if a case went to court. So it would make sense that we just do that in the first place before it goes to court, right?
Yes, standard fallback.
Okay.
It's basically just the court's going to apply a test to make sure that things have been done, you know, kind of like, okay, if you're a drunk driver and you're arrested, the court's not going to say, well, you were arrested, you were drunk. They're going to say, okay, was there a test done? Was the blood taken? Did you do a breathalyzer? That kind of a thing.
So we're just doing what they would do before it gets to that step anyways. Okay, that's fair.
The best thing, and he pointed it out in his Stopar's note back to us, is that it benefits the residents. It also benefits the Board of Appeals because they have something concrete to make those decisions on. And it's spelled out exactly what those questions are. So it really makes it better for the township overall, for the resident and, okay. For the board.
So we're setting a precedent of referencing case law in our zoning resolution for the benefits of the residents.
Yeah.
I think we're in alignment. I think we're making sure we're in alignment with case law and precedents.
It's like
so we're not setting precedents. We're making sure we're in harmony with precedents.
Sure, but in the future, then we can look at using case law in reference in our zoning resolution.
Right, and if the teacher grades you, they usually have a rubric to do it. So that's basically what this is doing. It's giving you a rubric to do that grading off of saying, no, we don't like that, go away.
That's fair. I think that's primarily what I've got, so.
Well, show's over with, huh?
I don't know. Anybody else have any other comments?
I think everybody questions? Else was, Charlie, got anything? You're sitting there.
Oh, I'm good.
You're good?
The only thing that I was just going to bring up real quick was that by 2033, I believe, the Toledo Zoo will be all sold.
I see where the old... Yep.
Yes, the old train yard is going to be a parking and a solar field.
Yeah, where they made the railroad ties.
Yep.
That must be real pretty ripe under there.
What's that?
It's a big project.
Yeah, it is.
That really big. But they couldn't put nothing else there anyway.
No, it's all contaminated.
Yeah.
Around.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's good for the construction industry.
Yeah.
And as I said, First Solar is building now. See, that's the first facility that was built 2 years ago, 3 years ago, right there at 795.
Three.
Then they built the next one behind it, just like a year after that. And then across the street, they just built one. And from my understanding, they bought the Peloton to add on to there. Peloton building right there on 20.
Wow. They're going to add on to that too? Oh my God. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. They just keep on building and building. Yeah.
Got to find enough people to work.
So the next steps for, I guess, I'm going to look into, I'd like to find that email from the Oregon prosecutor that, I guess she made that recommendation to change 2403 subsection G. And I guess we need to ask Burrell to attend our next meeting, or one of you guys.
No, I think we'd better have Stopar here, because he's...
We're going to try to get Stopar.
Stopar?
Yeah.
Okay.
But the Oregon prosecutor didn't do any of this.
No.
She did?
Well, she recommended 2403G, which is what our concern is.
That must have been before.
Which there was allegedly an email regarding that, so I'd like to find that email. Can you help me find that email? Do you know how to... Yeah, under? I assume under the zoning?
I think that was before... Because I don't know nothing. I didn't know she was involved. I thought it was Jeff. But.
Oh, okay. Well, I figured if there's an email about it, it'd be under the... It'd be in the zoning email, right?
Yeah.
Can you...
Yeah. Be able just to search for her.
We can find it, yeah.
Yeah, if you could find that and send it to me, I'd like to see that. That's all I got, Dave, so...
I need a motion to adjourn.
I'll make the motion to adjourn.
I'll second it.
All right.
8:10.
Roll call.
Roll call. Bo Miller.
You said vote to delay.
Oh, okay. We're going to vote on it in the next meeting when Bo will be here. So that's the 23rd of July. I think I'm right on it. Yeah, 23rd July. And let's see. Bo's not here. Dave Bench. Yes. Alex?
Yes. So that's adjourn. Okay.
All to adjourn. So just for the minutes.
I made the motion. He seconded.
Okay, but the motion is to make the to vote the next meeting. Is that the vote motion, or is it the motion to adjourn?
Oh, that's. You want a motion for it? Okay. Yeah. Okay. I make a motion that...
Why would we need a motion to delay? Because we have 20 days from the time of a public hearing to vote on it. I don't think we do either,
but we're just...
That's what the Ohio Revised Code says. You have 20 days from the
public
hearing.
We were going to do it tonight, though, but...
Yeah, but he's not here, so...
I think we'll just let it go. Okay.
Yep.
I don't want to write it in minutes anyhow, so...
Yep, there we go. That's easier.
Put it down to 8:10.
8:10, okay.
Thank you, everyone, for coming tonight. I appreciate everybody answering my questions.
Thank you for going through everything.
Somebody's got to do it.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't want it? I have a copy.
Oh, I have a copy.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah.
See you later.
How's he doing?
He's doing pretty good. He the back brace on.
You shut the doors?
Yeah, I'll lock everything up. It's going to take me a few minutes to get out.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, because that was debating on getting a Schrader pointer, and he was kind of trying to talk me into it.
Yeah, he wanted you to get what you had.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind. Well, they're very similar, you know, basically different colors, but, so.
Hey, before, yep, that's still on.